need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, we're rolling down another month, man. Got another month sliding away on us real quickly. I woke up this morning. My wife told me, said, hey, today's Macy's birthday. That's my granddaughter. And I said, no, I don't think it is. I think it's tomorrow. They all do tend to run together a little bit, don't they, after a while? My. What a time to be alive. And slept like a rock last night. Woke up this morning. Got several things on my heart. Want to touch bases with us. Some things I got to get out before I forget it. Number one, this DVDs, I think that's what they are, the CDs, I get those things screwed up, of the Hear the Watchman. Come on, Coach, wake up here. Of Occupy 2018 are available. You can get them online at $40. Say $40, yeah, I think it's going to be a 5 or 6 CD set, but you'll have them forever. You can download them, you can rip them, you can do whatever you want to, and you can share them with us. Listen to me. You are what you eat. Or as Stephen Minking said pre-show here, you are what whoever you're listening to ate. Chew on that one a while. Oh, that's a good word. Think on that one a while. You are what whoever told you something ate. And I'm just looking at the diversity of diets out there. I'm talking about physical diets and who are you listening to? In your life, who are you listening to? But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, it's on all of us now. If you're not careful, you're going to come across some poison that somebody else ate. And they're going to spread it to you. And isn't it funny, if you dig into the Word, you're going to find where Jesus talks about, was it Paul? Milk of the Word, meat of the Word. So evidently, there must be a difference in the food you eat. I'm here to tell you that this DVD set will be some good food. And I still don't think that we get it. I still don't think we've done a good job of understanding live radio. Somebody, that's okay, Kevin. a lot of people, their diet's bad. Their diet is bad. In other words, they're eating bland food. Some people say, well, Coach, I don't like that spicy food. When I married Michelle, Michelle married me 30-some years ago. I came from a family, there were 5 of us, 5 kids, 2 parents. Kind of odd, I know. And my dad was a factory worker. Funny back then, dad was a factory worker, mom didn't work. She stayed home, 5 kids. I remember when we just had 1 car. And then when a couple of them got driving, then we broke down, bought another car, but you could live off one income back then, one factory worker's income back in the 50s and 60s. And mom always made, I understand now why. I look back on our meal when she would feed us dinner. As I look back on it, it was kind of bland food. Macaroni and cheese, and we always had some salads, macaroni and cheese and hamburgers and hot dogs. It was bland food. When I married Michelle, Michelle came from a Italian family. Well, her mother was Italian. Her dad was Polish. Funny, her mom was Italian and dad did a lot of the cooking. He was a good cook. And when I began to date Michelle and I'd get invited over to their house for food, I got introduced to all this spicy food that I'd never eaten before. Italian stuff and Yankees and, oh my goodness, amazing. And a whole new, what would I say, menu, meal type thing happened in my life. And I remember when Michelle made me the biggest salad, first time ever, she made me the biggest salad. Mom just put salad in there, gave me French dressing and some tomatoes in it, maybe. I remember Michelle made me a salad and it had peanuts in it and cheese and croutons and bacon. She just kind of threw everything in the salad and stirred it up. I thought, wow, is this ever good? Man, A lot of you got a really bland diet. And the reason is that you've been in an environment where the guy who's feeding you, that's where he ate. And so I'm trying to encourage you. I think the DVDs are important because you could call over people over to your house, and you could call it a Bible study, call it whatever you want to. And you guys could break down, you could take Russ Dizdar's presentation, and you could divide it into four or five different Bible studies. You say, I can't have a Bible study, Coach. I don't know what I would teach. Well, here you go.
Amen, Coach.
You bring some people over your house, you show 15 minutes of Russ Dizdar, and then you discuss what you just saw.
Yep.
You go through that, and you begin to gradually red pill people. Their eyes get open. They begin to see things differently. We hear about all this. We hear about all the child trafficking that's going on, the pedophilia. And we don't want to believe it's true. And you listen to Russ. Listen and say, my goodness, I never ate that before. What'd you cook that, Russ? How'd you cook that? What'd you put on that, Russ? And it goes back to what we were saying the other day, first truth. And a lot of us are stuck. Don't ever forget this. Here's the greatest advice that you are ever going to receive. Two of them. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 1, you don't have to go there. It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, ungodly does not necessarily mean wicked. Ungodly, to me, means those who are not in contact with the Lord. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of those who've been eating a bland diet. Blessed is he who walketh not in the counsel of people who've been eating poison. And I see it all the time in my life. I just had a discussion with Michelle before I came down here about something that's going on kind of behind the scenes with something we're dealing with. And I said, you know, honey, they just don't see it. They just don't see it. I'm not mad at them. I don't want to get even. They don't see it. They've been eating a really, really bland diet. So blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hear me. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus, when he turned the water into wine, that's John 3, not 1 John 3, John 3. Jesus is gathered there at the wedding feast of Cana. And Mary, his mother, comes to him and says, they have need of wine. I was always struck by a couple different things. Jesus didn't say, them drunks, they don't need anything more to drink. He didn't say that. Of course, I guess wine was kind of a staple in the diet back then. But he said to the mother, no, it's not my time yet. Why would you come here? It's none of my business. And then the mother walks back and she gathers all the servants around her. And she says, listen, I'm paraphrasing. Boy's getting ready to do something. She says, I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever he says unto you, you do it. She tells them. The greatest instructions in all the scriptures, in my belief. Whatever he says unto you, do. But you know what happens to us? The Lord says something to us and we hear it. And then we run to the ungodly. We ask them what their opinion on it is. And the Lord said, listen, when I speak to you, the Lord said, don't you be talking to them fools. When you hear from me, you do what I tell you to do. And so here's the nugget I want to give you here. You want to be effective in your Christian walk. You have to stop the second voice. Because whenever the Lord speaks to you, there will immediately come a second voice. If someone says to you, hey, coach, like it happened to me, hey, coach, grab some of those abortion signs and go down, stand on the corner down there, Route 13 and 70. A lot of cars coming by there. You go do that. And I heard the Lord do that. And I could walk right up the steps and go up and sit at my table in the kitchen across from my wife. And I'd say, hey, here's what I think I'm going to do. And she would say, why do you want to do that? She loves me. She's 150. She probably wouldn't say that. I'm using it as an example. And so, whatever, for whatever reason, I don't do it because I didn't stop that second voice. That second voice is always going to try to counter that first voice. And it can come from, it can come from people who really, really love you and really, really are concerned about you. Because remember, they may not have been eating what you've been eating. They certainly haven't been hearing what you've been hearing. So obedience isn't simply obeying that first voice. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Because often, most times, it's not about you. Maybe if I go down, stand on that corner with my abortion sign, maybe 6 months from now, some lady who's driving up through there is going to think about having an abortion. She's going to remember that picture. And so what would seem like foolishness to me, I didn't do it because somebody else said, well, why would you do that? Well, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Lord said, you heard me. Why didn't you do it? Peter, when Peter walked on the water, he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And what did the Lord say? Come on, dude. And did Peter turn around and ask everybody, should I go out there? Do you think I can walk on that water? You think I can walk on that water? Would I be able to do that? Don't think so. I ain't coming. That's what happens to me. So I just want to encourage you this morning that what are you eating? What are you eating? And so you take this show right here where I think we have a good diet and a pretty a varied diet. We eat a lot of different things here. And you're having a hard time getting people to eat this. Oh, you got to listen to this. Got to join this. They don't get it. So you begin, as we said yesterday, a little bit at a time. Take 15 minutes of L.A. Marzulli. Take 15 minutes of Dr. Mike Spaulding. Take 50. There's a year's Bible study right there. But if you don't get the DVDs, you can't do it. Plus, it helps support our ministry. So I would encourage you that. So that was number one. And then number two is I don't remember. So it'll come back to me. You with me, y'all? Huh? Makes sense? Somebody come on in here and tap me on the head or something.
Amen, Coach.
Amen, Coach.
That's pretty heavy right there, wasn't it? Pretty thick. Yes.
Hey, Coach. You read my mind, Coach.
Many Christians want to eat at the table of the Lord, but don't want to serve at the table of the Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 4, he says, I have meat you know not of, and it is to do the will of him who has sent me and
do the
to
will.
Accomplish the work.
Do the will. Whatever he says unto you, do. Listen, hey, fellas, listen. It's been my experience that all the Lord requires of me is obedience. That's all he requires of me. And if I go do something that he told me to do, it's not my job to sit back and look at the fruit or figure out what happened or what the score is. Doesn't have anything to do with that. He will, if he tells you to do something, he will use it. He'll use it for his good. Just promise. Amen. He has begun a good work in you, complete it, right? And his word doesn't return void. Second thing just popped back in my head. Get here in June, will you? June 14th. Get here. It is so important. And we all have a lot of reasons why we can't. June, what is this? We got all of May. We got 6 weeks to make a plan to get here. And we're still working on the details of what's going on, but I believe the Lord wants to do something in all of us. And as many of the guys here would testify, something powerful happens when you get amongst the brethren. We have a bond already. Just through this medium, we have a bond. But I promise you that bond will be even stronger. Grow more. Oh, air raid, is that what that is? Anybody getting the air raid in their ear but me? Jared's working on it. There we go. Air raid. Or what is that? One of those alerts, those amber alerts. Anyway, get here. Try to get here. And that's why, listen, I don't constellate. I would like you to support our ministry because I'm going to tell you right now, there are some people who aren't going to be able to get here. They're going to say, Coach, I don't have the money. And I say, cool. Here's $100. Come on. I want to be able to do that. So when you support us, that's the kind of thing that we do. Okay. Cool. June 14th, 15th. We're still making plans on what it's going to be. My buddy Rob Pugh said, let's get 500 people there. Boy, that'd be awesome. I spoke to those of you who came to our first conference here in Ohio about Pastor Tom Gill's church. I spoke to Pastor Tom yesterday, and that whole Quonset hut thing, that whole thing's available for people to be able to camp, sleep on the floor. We'll get hotels, whatever. We'll pack them in, whatever. Whatever. I think it's critical. Cool. Okay. Let's see. Get in the queue, because right now on the queue, there's 35 people in here and they're having chat over here. Some of you are probably chatting on YouTube. I think we're streaming on Vimeo. Maybe some of you are chatting there, but when you get in the queue, man, you get real time discussions that are going on over here. And it's hard for me because I'm trying to do the show, but I want to read what they're writing over here because it's great stuff, man. Good stuff. You only get that by getting in the queue. We're 35 people in here right now. Again, I remember when it was me and Mike Heath and Pete LaBarber that first time we did it. Crazy. And John Brockoff's even getting in there. I'll tell you the John Brockoff story. I'll get him to tell you. I'd get John to tell you his story, but about obedience. But it takes him a month because he talks slow. Just kidding, John. Just kidding, John. Come on, just kidding. So here's where I am today. Here's where I am. Luke 17. Jared, let's go there. Luke 17. Let's go to Luke 17. Hey, guys. It matters who you talk to. Hey, guys. Girls. It matters who you listen. It matters who you listen to. Hey, guys, girls. It matters which voice you obey. John 17, is that what I said? Luke, John 17. I must be on drugs. No, I never smoked pot. I was never a drug user. Drank a lot of beer. Never smoked pot. Luke chapter 17. Then said he unto the disciples. How many were those guys? I think he's talking about just the 12 here. Or were there other people who were disciples of Jesus rather than just his disciples? But whatever, it says here he's talking to the disciples. Notice he's not talking to those who have been saved. He's not talking to the entire congregation. How about that? It is impossible for folks to be offended. But woe unto him to whom they come.
Be careful how and what way you're offending people.
It would be better for him than a millstone hanging about his neck, is also mad about that way. And he cast in the sea that he should offend one of these little ones.
Take heed to yourself.
Huh?
Yeah. Watch yourself, he says.
Watch yourself.
Because if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him.
And if he repents, forgive him.
And if he trespasses against you seven times a day,
he turns back to you and says, dude, I'm so sorry, man. I don't know what I was thinking. Forgive me. And the apostle said to the Lord, Lord, please increase our faith. Give us more faith. You guys ever prayed that? Have you ever prayed that? Oh, Lord, increase my faith. Faith comes through obedience. It's the only way it comes. It's the only way it comes. And the Lord said, come on, man. If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, do you guys have any idea how small a mustard seed is? It's like about the size of a sesame seed. I mean, it's like nothing. Jesus said, if you just had that tiny little bit right there, you might say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Jesus said, would you guys ever say that to his servant? Come on in here and get, would you say, come on in here and get and sit down here and eat? Or would you say, like, wait, I'm not done eating. You don't get to eat till I get finished eating. Which one of those would you do? He said. And will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith that I may sup. I'm sorry, verse 9. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. He says, listen, do you think you deserve a pat on the back for doing your job, for doing your duty? Do you think there's something special because you just did what you're supposed to do? No, he says, so likewise, when you shall have done all those things which were commanded. So when you have done everything that the Lord has asked you to do, we're still unprofitable servants because we've only done that which was our duty to do. So the great question of today is, as Christian men, Christian women, what's our duty? When's the last time you heard a sermon on that in your church? Your duty. Instead, the most of the focus of the church, or most of the focus of the message that you're going to get is how Jesus is coming to serve you. And all these things that he is going to do to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. And never, I don't know, hey, I love that little woman upstairs. I love her with my whole heart. And she does so many things for our children. We have three. Four and a half grandchildren. She does so many things. You know what breaks my heart? You know what grieves my heart? A lot of times they don't even thank her. I see some of the stuff she does. Last night she cooked the biggest meal. I know they're grateful. But you know what? She sees it as her duty. She doesn't do it for applause. She doesn't do it for the praise. She says, I'm the matriarch. I'm the grandma of this family. That's my duty. And even though it would be nice if somebody, one of the kids thanked her, she doesn't need it. It's her duty. She's doing her duty. So I guess the thing I want to throw out on the table here today, what's our duty as Christian men? How would you define it? Hey, what coach. Does it mean? What does it mean if you're a Christian and you're doing your job? What does that look like? Yeah, Dale.
You know, you had said just a few minutes ago, you know, that our Christianity is about what God can do for me. In the very same chapter, it's an incredible revelation where Jesus heals the 10 lepers. And in verse 17,
I was gonna go there, brother. Go ahead.
You were gonna go there? Well, yes. I'll let you go there. I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, man, the Lord spoke it to you. Go ahead.
Well, brother, the revelation is then that when the 10 were healed, they went away, and then one returned to him. And Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?
Yeah,
was not one found who returned, giving God glory?" And Jesus said,
Dale, stand up. Where is that, Dale?
17 and 18. Verse 17 and 18.
Amen, Dale.
Of Luke 17 and 18.
Same chapter. Yep.
Go on down. Because, Dale, some of us are visual, right? Some of guys got to read it to get it.
Oh, yeah.
So Dale, start at verse 17. Wait a minute. Okay, start at 15.
Okay. So.
Start at 14, Dale. 14.
Okay, so when he saw them, he said, I'm reading from a different translation. Just got one.
That's all right. We're still friends.
We still love you, bro. When he saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw what he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice.
And Yahoo! He
fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were they not 10? Yeah. Were they not 10 cleansed? But 9, where are they? Was not one found who returned, giving God to glory except the foreigner? And he said unto them, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. When he said that, that part about has made you well, see, all people are in about, they just want to know what God can do for them. Not about what can they do for God. Give God glory. Is it not our reasonable sacrifice, Romans chapter 12, right? Our acceptable sacrifices unto God is serving, is our body, our life. That's it. Mm-hmm. And this, so, all most people are doing is that they want to jump on the hooray bandwagon of what God can do for me. And brought, it's about coming back unto the Lord, falling at his feet, first love, first truth. And what is it, Lord? What did John F. Kennedy say? John F. Kennedy says, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I say, ask not God what he can do for you, but ask God, what can I do for you, God?
We call that duty, right? Was it Douglas MacArthur? Duty, honor, country. Duty, honor, faith. Duty, honor, Christ. This stuff isn't spoken of, Steve. And we live in this culture, in this society, where we think we ought to be patted on the back for doing our duty. And I used to hear that all the time when I was coaching football, when we'd watch the films afterwards, and I would get on a kid, and then the kid would say, Coach, you never point out when I do right. You never point out when I do the right thing. And I'd say, dog, daggone it, man. I appreciate you so much, but you're supposed to do the right thing. You're supposed to. Why should I have to praise you for doing your duty? So, what's our duty?
Amen to what you said there, Pastor Dale. You know, there's a reason why one of the foundational principles of Christianity is faith toward God.
Explain it, Larry.
Okay, well, the six foundational principles are listed under six.
I understand that. Explain. Faith toward God.
There may be somebody listening who doesn't know where they're at. Okay, faith toward God is taking that faith that God gave every person. The word says to each was given the measure of faith. Everybody born has a measure
of mustard seed. Grain of mustard seed, even.
No, it doesn't say that. It says each is given the measure.
I understand that, Larry. I'm making the point that people say, well, I don't have any faith. I say, even if it's a grain of mustard seed, yes, you do. Go ahead.
Okay, but what I'm saying is God has given each whatever the measure of faith is. Now, in order to build your fundamental life in Christ, you have to take that faith that he gave you and you have to do something with it. You have to exercise it toward God. You have to do something in your life to convince God that you now believe and trust in him. You have to turn control of your life. That's faith. Take that faith he gave you and use it to control your life, to turn it over to his control. That's faith toward God.
That's faith. Those who come to God must believe that he is, right? And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is faith towards God, that he is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. That's faith towards God, right? And lack of faith is nothing more than you don't believe what he said and you don't believe he'll do what he said he'll do. But that's where the battle lies. Somebody else, come on in here. Yes.
So, Jared, could we go to Mark 13, the end of the chapter, starting in verse 31? So this is for context, this is the end of the Olivet Discourse where Jesus is talking to his disciples about the end of the age. But I think there's something here that applies just generally speaking. Yes, of course, we should look for the second coming, but we need to be following these commands and obedient to them in general. So starting in verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away.
Mark 13:31, for those of you I'm taking notes. Go ahead.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So there's this repetition. Yeah, four times. Word watch there. And so between that and Mary's invective to the servants at the wedding, whatever he says do, that's a pretty good starter kit there, coach. Watch, and whatever he says, do it.
See, so I often wonder if we made Christianity more exclusive. In other words, if our approach to the gospel, I'm just thinking out loud here, bear with me. If our approach to the gospel was, come on, everybody come. Jesus loves everybody. Come on, come on, come on, everybody, come on, come on, come on, come on. What if our approach to the gospel is more exclusive? What if we said to people that we're trying to win to Christ, what if we said to them, you know what? I don't know if you're up to it. I don't know if you walk this walk. This walk's available, and Jesus would love for you to come and receive him and be part of the family. But he warned us, broad is the way, narrow, wide, few, many, few. I don't know if you're up to it. That would change the whole perspective on Christianity, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Because see, implicit, or another big word I heard somebody say, within Christianity is duty. We never talk about duty ever. Just come. Jesus loved you. Just come. Just come. Just come. Say, dude, you better know what you're signing up for, because Jesus said that no man builds a tower, gets halfway through it, and realizes it was more than he was willing to pay. No, 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 no. You better count the cost, Jesus said. And I can't tell you the number of people. I could rattle off 10 right now. I could rattle off 10 people right now who got that greasy, gracie, Jesus loves you, he'll give you everything you need gospel, and then a tragedy came into their life, and they've fallen away, and they have never come back.
John 14:15 said, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands.
That's what he said. What he said. And so my fear is, it's so clear that someone gets saved, there's an enemy comes right away, try to snatch that seed right out of their heart. And if you ask yourself, I used to go to this big mega church in Columbus, Ohio, and they'd have 100 a night get saved. It's awesome. Awesome. Well, if 100 a night are getting saved, then there ought to be a football field full of people, and they're not there. Where are they? Where are they? And see, nobody's talking to them about your duty. It's your duty as a Christian man to do this. It's your duty. Just doing my job, boy. Just doing my job. Oh, just doing my job. What are you doing? Oh, I'm going out and rescuing babies. I'm standing up against the homosexuals. I'm fighting this filth that's in the school. Just doing my job, boys. That's all. We don't talk about duty anymore. I'm not called to do that. Really? Show me that scripture, please. Somebody show me that scripture where it says you're not called to save rescue unborn children. Can somebody point that out?
It doesn't, but it does say fulfill your works as an evangelist, and nobody wants to talk about Jesus.
Dale, you've livened up our show. Somebody jump in here. I hear somebody trying to crawl in here. Hey, duty on her.
Pastor, yeah. Dale, hit the nail on the head when you talk. You know, right there after it talks about the we're going to leave the milk. Coach talked about the milk of the word versus the meat of the word. End of chapter 5, Hebrews, we're going to leave the milk and we're going to go on to some stronger stuff. We're not going to cover these six little foundational things again. We're going to go to stronger stuff. The first stronger stuff it talks about is Christians who fall away.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Once saved, always saved, Larry. Somebody else tried to get in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, in Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 20 there, it's pretty simple the teaching here. It says...
Mark 11:20, John.
Yep, chapter 11, verse 20.
Go ahead.
He says, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered, but from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Well, Peter couldn't believe that fig tree that Jesus cursed was withered. And Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. It's a pretty simple teaching there. And it goes on, truly I say to you, whoever said to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, so I say, all things that for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you.
Amen. Amen. Faith towards God. Faith towards his word, right?
Faith in God.
You know, John, listen. God, folks, I don't want to sound this corny, okay? But this is real, you know? I'm sitting here right now, here down in my multi-million dollar studio. And if the lights go out, I'm going to yell at my wife. Well, this happened. Let me give this example. This happened the other day. She came down there while I was doing the show. And when she walked out, she turned off the lights. Just habit. She walked down the studio, she turns off the lights. Did I go into prayer? I go into fasting? No. I say, hey, Michelle, turn light on. You know what I knew? If she hit that switch, those lights were coming on. I wasn't asking her to do something impossible. I wasn't stretching her faith. If we could get that inside of us, that the Lord said, what John just said there, it's done. It's done. Turn on the lights. Boom. Lights are on. What a revelation if we could get the deep understanding of who God is, what his word really says, and the foundational principle, as Larry said, of faith towards him, that he will do what he said he will do. That his word, he sent his word, right? And it will not return void, but it will perform that which he said. What a powerful, powerful statement.
And somebody coach, else remember, yeah, but coach, remember what he said. He didn't say quit. He didn't say, tell me about your mountains. See, we're too busy telling God about the mountains when God's saying, tell the mountains about me.
Say that again, Dave. That's good. That's so
when
good.
Pray, he said in that passage of scripture, he says, if you say unto these mountains, be thou plucked up and removed. And we as whiny baby Christians are going to God and crying and telling God about our mountains.
Oh, there's
God
a mountain
moved
there.
The mountains.
There's a mountain.
And God
there.
Says, hey, speak to the mountains about me. They'll melt like wax at the presence of the Lord.
Don't speak to the Lord about the mountain. Speak to the mountain about the Lord. What a statement, Dale.
Amen, Dale. We pray, thy will be done. And then we turn around and tell God what his will is supposed to be.
Yeah, that's because we're God's counselor. We want to tell God how to do his job.
Yeah.
Man. Hey, boys, is this a Bible study or what? Huh? Is this something? When's the last time you did something like this in church?
Amen.
My.
Sunday.
Stop that. Oh, my goodness. Come on in. Somebody else got something poking on their tongue. Go ahead and get it out.
Hey, Coach. Yes. Jared kind of snuck it in there. He said that it's because we think that we are God. And Amen. It's worth noting that all of the other worldviews and ideologies, they come down to like the central tenet of humanism is like man is God in the sense that we can determine what's right and wrong. We can chart our own course. We can find our own destiny. We can create our own purpose. But of course, it's worth remembering that is the original lie, that we will become as gods, knowing good and evil. And so if you map the worldviews, everything goes back to that original lie, whether it's humanism, agnosticism, atheism, any of these things. It's us saying that we can declare the truth as opposed to, you know, it's the creation attempting to become the creator. And that goes all the way back. It's the same lie, same thread. And if we are not obedient to the one true God and hearing his voice and watching, like we saw in Mark, then, you know, we're going to get off track. And it's so easy because we're just bombarded with so many different things, what to watch, what to listen, et cetera.
We've been constantly taught, whether we realize it or not, to question the Lord's integrity. That's really what it gets down to. We question his integrity. We think he's like us, that he changes his mind, that he doesn't follow through, that he gets busy. It's like the illustration upstairs. Our little grandson was down here that was a few months ago, I guess. We got some bunk beds in there for our grandkids to sleep in the bunk bed. And David got up on top of the bunk bed, and I'm standing down below him, and I said, "Come on, jump." We all know where this is going, right? And he didn't want to do it. And finally he jumped, and I caught him and threw him back up in the air and put him back up on the bunk bed. And you know what happened? Boom, 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 over the edge of the bed, jumps again, right? I catch him and put him back up. Boom. He never, ever lost faith in the fact that I was going to catch him. It never entered his mind that his grampy wouldn't catch him. There's a sermon there, boys. There's a sermon. We don't trust and we don't believe that the Lord is who he says he is. Now, listen, out of the abundance of the heart, right? If you believe him for selfish things, for your own selfish desires to feed your flesh, and you're asking the Lord to give you stuff that's going to feed your flesh, good luck. Good luck with that one. Got to come speak to him out of a pure heart. And we would do a lot better if we spent, maybe it was Larry, somebody said, we'd do a heck of a lot better if in our prayer time we just shut up a little bit more. We did a little bit more listening rather than a little bit more begging. Anybody else? Come on in. I got something else I can go to.
Yeah, Coach. You know, when I look at the apostles and how their lives were changed because they followed this man Jesus for 3 years, saw everything that he did, and then when the Holy Spirit came, they changed their world. They were changed men. And I think that's what's happening now with a lot of us that have been listening now for the last couple of years, going to some of these meetings, are seeing what you have done in your own life. We have become changed men in many respects.
Amen.
Not that we weren't Christian already, but it's changed our total outlook on really what our job is. And how we need to be doers of the word and just not sitting in the church and being a hearer only. And many of us now are walking it out on a daily Amen. Basis.
Amen. Amen.
It's awesome, isn't it? That's Absolutely. What I was talking about yesterday, about the fruit, right? Hey, guys, fruit can, listen, fruit is so much, it's just obedience. Faith comes through obedience. He said it, I did it. And this happened. It was amazing, we tell everybody. I don't know how that happened, except I heard what he said, I did what he said, and then this happened. And we think it's a coinkydink, right? We think it just kind of happened. When in fact, that's the way we're supposed to do. But see, we don't want to do this duty thing. We don't want to do this hard thing. If it was an easy thing, the Lord wouldn't be asking you to do it. And what's that old saying? To have something you've never had, you're going to have to do something you've never done. And that's to me, the faith walk.
Hey, Coach.
Uh-huh.
Well, there in verse 25 and 26, we have to be obedient to that, too, after what he was talking about there in 22 and 23 and 24. And 25, it says, when you stand praying, forgive. Against any that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So there's a obedience there.
Well, it's everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere.
Amen.
So let's burrow in here a second then. Let's burrow in. What is our duty? As a Christian man, Christian woman, what's your duty? I'm not going to tell you. I want to hear from you.
One duty is to learn to forgive so you will be forgiven.
Okay. Another one. What's our duty?
I would say it's to lead people to Christ, not talk about it, to lead them there, to mm-hmm. do it. do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
good point, Jared. The brother of Peter, all he did is he went to Peter. He said, come, let me show you the man who has told us everything. Brother, it's about us bringing them to Jesus, not to us.
Mm-hmm. Not to a church. And then discipling them, make disciples. Matthew 28, is that Matthew? We said it over and over and over. Go ye into all the world. Right? Dudes, there's a duty. Go ye into all the world. And what, go on vacation? Matthew 28, Jared. I think it's Matthew 28, isn't it? And then Dale gave us the one in Luke. Matthew 28, verse 18. There's our duty. And Jesus came and spake to them and said, hey, dudes, listen, all power has been given unto me both in heaven and earth. Do me a favor. You guys go, teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy. Will you guys do that? By the way, that's your duty, is it not? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And so we're supposed to then allow the public schools to teach stuff contrary to God. Is it our duty to remain silent? Have the right to remain silent? Plead the Fifth Amendment in Christianity? Plead the Fifth Amendment? I'm not going to testify about that. I have the right to remain silent. Is that it? Or is our duty to go and teach? Go and teach.
Coach, with the,
yeah.
I think we have a very deep misunderstanding about what responsibility is and what Jesus does when he says, I've given you power. I've given you power, right? And it's, we don't, in the military, if an officer tells you to go and shoot somebody, it's not your fault if you shoot them. It's his fault, okay? Mm-hmm. If Jesus tells mm-hmm. you to go and do something, it's not your fault, you know, it's you go and you do it. You do what you're told. It's obedience. And he is bearing the responsibility. He is bearing the weight of these decisions.
You're going in his name, aren't you? Right. You're carrying that authority. You're going in his name. You're doing it in his name.
But you're still the trigger puller. You're still the trigger puller. You're still the one pulling the trigger. You're still the one who does have to do something. You got to go and act and do it. But he bears the responsibility for it. That's it.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Amen, Jerry.
Yes. Yes.
What did Jesus say to Peter when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, Peter? What did he tell him to do? He said, go get it done.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, come give me a hug.
Mm-hmm. Go get in your prayer closet and pray. Continue to pray for me, right? Or do me a favor. Go into your church and play some good worship music and get some flags and dance around with flags. I didn't say do that.
Just love them.
Yeah, just that passage of scripture that was just quoted about, it says, you know, if you love me, he didn't call him Peter. He said, Simon, son of Barjona. That blows Calvinism out of the water right there. Because Peter denied Jesus, brother. Peter denied Jesus. And Jesus referred him back to his original name. And it wasn't until the end where Peter said, Lord, I will follow you anywhere. He said, Peter, Satan is going to come and sift you like flour.
Amen. Amen. This good. This is church. I've done anything I wanted to do. Well, I've done one thing over here I wanted to do. Come on, somebody jump on in here.
The spiritual smorgasbord that we've been able to dine upon for the last 7 to 8 days is just phenomenal. Phenomenal, especially those that got to go to the conference. Me and Mark Trump, and I noticed that Hillbilly's not in here, he sent me a text last night and contacted with me, and we were talking about this exact stuff last night. It's just, it's beyond it. There are no coincidences, and you know what? God's leading us in a direction and giving every one of us, which have our own special gifts, things that we need to do. We just got to figure out and decipher what it is. We got to have somebody like you at the helm, cracking a whip, saying, hey, you need to go this way, you need to go that way. God bless you, Coach. I love you more than I can tell you.
Well, thanks, man. You know what's really good about it, and I've caught wind some of this. Some of you guys here in the queue are building relationships with other guys in the queue we don't know about. I get a call from somebody says, "Oh yeah, I spoke to so and so last week, and yeah, I called. I was talking to." It's amazing. Well, if you were at the conference, what you want, but if you get here on June 14th and 15th, you're going to understand the interweaving that the Lord's doing that we don't even realize is going on. And you're only going to be able to understand that if you come and experience it. I can't emphasize enough. You need to be here. You need to be here in June. Somebody, come on in here. We got 10 minutes left. I got other stuff, but I don't want to switch topics, right? I can't get into something else right now.
Oh, Coach, I'm going to put this out there real quick. I spoke with Rusty Thomas yesterday, and there's a big need with him when he brings his son back home. They have carpet in their house, and he asked me, he said, "Dale, can you come to Texas and take all the carpet out and put hardwood floors through my house so we can start rehabilitating Jeremiah to walk?" So I'm just coveting some prayers, and you know who's going? I, my associate pastor, and my elder. Brother, we're going to go do it for free, and so we're just looking for some support. Dale, but that's out and just doing the work.
Okay, two questions. Do you need any other men that would come, and how much money do you need?
I had Kendra send me the pictures of the floor plan there. I don't need any men because these three people that are going is I, the guy I work with, one of my elders, and my associate pastor who does home renovations also. So we can do this. That's not a problem. But I told Rusty, I said, of course the labor's free. I said, but we got to get these floors covered cost wise because I got 1,100 square feet of flooring. And so, I'm going to go look at some flooring. And so I'm going to try to raise some money to purchase the material, bring it there and knock it out in a couple of days for him.
How much are you looking at, do you think, Dale?
I'm probably imagining it's going to be about $1.75 to $2 a square foot for the flooring and then 50 cents per square foot for the padding. So I haven't got probably about $2,500.
Okay. Well, I'll cover it. And then these guys are going to help us cover it.
But the key thing is, Coach, is like whatever it takes. This is, look, I might be a pastor, but you know me. I'll hold a sign. I'll play guitar. Oh, you want me to do floors? I'll go do your floors. Oh, go feed the people. We'll go feed the people. You know me.
You're a five talent guy. That's for sure. And I'm a five talent guy, but it ain't laying floors. And it ain't putting it in the drywall. It ain't any of that stuff, right? Huh? See, brother, listen, folks, don't miss this one. Don't miss this. Because we're all gifted in so many different ways. And don't think you don't have a gift because yours isn't standing up on the podium. Or don't think yours isn't a gift because you don't host a show. You got a gift. Man, have you got a gift. And one of the problems that you have in your life is nobody's ever showed you how to use it and where to exercise it. You don't even know what it is. And that'd be my heart's cry that you would understand what your gift is and begin to activate it and work in it. Yeah, Jared.
I just want to say, like, with the gifts, two of the men with the best gifts I think I've ever met are Serge and Robert Sellers.
Robert.
Those are men who are they're men. They're Christian men. And and they're probably the most broken, you know, physically. Like, you know, they can't do everything that everybody else does, you know. And Serge has had like 20 surgeries in the past 3 years. But, you know, those two guys to me are a better experience than almost anything else, you know. So that's their gift.
With my Amber Alert, Serge. Not making it up this time. Somebody's clear down someplace. All right, find them, Lord. Find them, Lord. See, listen, because it's really hard. It's really hard for the Lord to use you till he breaks you. And you get broken in a lot of different ways. And as corny as it might sound, we really resist the potter's wheel. You know, I was thinking again yesterday, I was with Pastor Tom Gill, and you guys don't know Pastor Tom Gill, but he has a gym and he's a bodybuilder. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, daggone it, I got to get back in shape. I got to get back in shape. And I do it for a while, and then I slide off from it, and I understand the importance of it. And I want to do it. Yet sometimes it takes sometimes it takes a breaking in order for you to really, really get serious about, Lord, I'm not asking for any breaking. Don't get me wrong. But Robert Sellers is a broken man. And he who's forgiven much loves much. I'd say the same thing for Serge and a lot of guys here in the queue. I appreciate what you said about those guys, Jared. But we're all broken in some ways. But 5 minutes. Anybody, come on in here.
Can I take a minute or two to talk about STAB?
Sure.
Yeah, we got a lot of new folks. And my gosh, 37 people. I think that's a record. We got room for 13 more. STAB stands for Sound the Alarm Brigade. I got the brigade part from you guys. I believe that our politicians have zero chance of ever fixing the Muslim invasion problem without talking about it first. If we, the people, don't force a national conversation and force our politicians to start talking about the existence of the problem and then figuring out, if there is any, what the solution to the problem is that they can do. I believe there is, but you got to let them figure it out, because if they're not going to listen to us. But they will talk about it if we make them talk about it. So I've got two petitions I just posted this morning. I'm going to put the links in the chat. And these petitions, one of them is to the President Trump, asking him to appoint a Blue Ribbon committee to study the history and the impact of Islam moving into a Western civilized country. And the second petition is asking Congress to inform us what actions they're taking to ensure that Sharia law will never be implemented into our justice system. Please go to those petitions, sign them. If you did not get an email from me this morning about this subject, it means I don't have your email address. If you give me your email address in the text here, I will add you to our email list. And then go to STAB and sign up for STAB. That's help us get this word out. Help us get this conversation started.
Amen.
Well, then maybe when everybody comes here on June 14th and 15th, maybe we'll go visit the mosque. How would you like to do that, boy?
Amen.
How would you like to take Jesus to the mosque? Hey, just doing my duty.
Amen.
Just doing my duty. Just doing my duty. Anybody else? Yeah, we do have a good crowd in here. Folks, I want you to know this. There are thousands that are listening. Thousands. There's 37 of us in the queue here. Thousands of downloads, and thousands are. And we are winning back America one red pill at a time. We have to all become more involved and purposefully doing it. Don't waste your time casting your pearl before swine. By that, I mean those who are absolutely blind to what's going on. Don't waste your time doing it. Hear me. Don't be discouraged by those who don't get it. Remember I talked at the beginning about the first voice and then the second voice? You're going to have more second voices around you than you can even imagine. When the Lord gives you a vision, or the Lord gives you a word, or the Lord gives you a purpose, or the Lord gives you an action, whatever he says unto you, do it. Do it. And whether you have to go alone, although I don't advise that, take somebody with you. But if you have to go alone, go alone. Obedience, Jesus said, is better than sacrifice. And so you look at what all it's costing you to do it. He said, I don't care about any of that. I just want you. Hey, I just want you to do what I ask you to do. That's all I really want you to do. And this idea, this legalism that falls in there, and my. It's Jesus and nothing else. Jesus and nothing else. And you can be on our football team, but if you're on our football team, your duty is to block that guy. I don't want you on the team if you're going to sit there and let him rush through and not put a hand on him. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So we scream and holler and we moan and complain. We're in a war. Well, fellas, we ought to start acting like it. If we really believe that we're in a war, then we ought to stop asking other people to fight it for us. We are the body of Christ. We are his called out. We Amen. Are the ones we're the ones who've been marked. We're the A team. We're his own, we're God's A plan. We are it. Amen. His body, his church is his plan. It is his plan. And he works through people. So if you're part of this huddle, you're listening to this thing, ask yourself, number one, what is my duty? And Lord, Help me to do it. When am I going to do my duty? When? When am I going to do my duty? Those, if you love me, you keep my commandments. God bless you. See you tomorrow.